Today I'm talking with comedian Pete Johansson, who will be performing this evening at 8 p.m. at the Cambridge Junction as part of his tour Several Jokes. Pete was nominated for the prestigious Foster's Best Newcomer Award in 2009. He's been a guest on Russell Howard's Good News. He starred alongside Ed Byrne in BBC4's Sex Bombs and has generally travelled the world performing his stand-up in many different cities. Pete, you've certainly done a lot. Aren't you exhausted by now?
Oh, what a great question. Yes. I'm so tired, man. I can't even get over it. But you know what? Being that tired, I've discovered I can't make a career out of just sleeping. I actually have to get out and tell jokes. So, man, if I want my rent to be paid, you know, got to do some touring. So, Cambridge, come down and help me pay my rent.
So, how does one become a stand-up comedian? Was it something that you suddenly realized you wanted to do, or was it a gradual process?
I think what happens is you wake up one morning and realize you have no other skills at all. And there's a ever-shrinking job market, and there's a robotic technology coming in that's going to supplant all blue and white collar jobs over the next 10 years. But I guarantee there's not going to be any robots doing comedy. So I'm just thinking long-term future, man. That's the only outlet right there. There's no programming code for humor yet. Well, I know they're trying, but it's just not going to work. So yeah, it's all about longevity and finding a place to fit in the world.
So it's definitely a job that will be very useful for the students of Cambridge who are now in courses they may not want to do. It's maybe actually the best option for them.
All those foolish guys in the engineering school. I mean, what are you going to do with that?
Oh, let's not make any enemies now, though. So what would you say your influences were when you started doing stand-up?
Probably a lot of old school comedians that weren't really comedians. I like anybody that's mean to kids. Mm-hmm. So I was like a big fan of Walter Matthau, Charles Grodin, and W.C. Fields. And then when it comes to stand-up, I like, you know, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, stuff like that. I like comics that have an overwhelming sociological sort of undertone of influence and bending the sort of cultural will against their irrationality, which is what a lot of the pioneers did. And now we've sort of relegated ourselves to merely getting laughs out of reminding people what they recognize. So I prefer the pioneers of comedy to the modern day comedy.
Okay.
So that's my influence.
But you've worked with quite a lot of famous comedians right now. So have you ever been starstruck?
No, I despise the concept of fame. I find it undercuts the whole concept of quality when it comes to modern entertainment. Our whole fame structure is a reward of people that have been reminded of things. I mean, look at modern music. It's never been worse than it is right now. And that's just simply because people relate simply to things that they're comfortable with because of the comfort of recognition. So you hear something seven times, immediately you're comfortable with it. But people are programmed to be fearful of the new. And comedy, this is one of those things that it just doesn't work well with. The best comics are the most unknown comics. And they're the most fearless and they're the most pioneering. The ones that are famous particularly right now are the most boring group of idiots that's ever existed, with the small exception of a handful of people that actually push boundaries.
So who would you recommend?
I toured with Reg Hunter last year, and he's fantastic. Now, he's an exception to the rule because he actually provokes people, and he makes them think and makes them try to do different things. You know, I enjoy some of what Frankie Boyle does, but but not all of it. But that's the way comedy should be. Not everybody's going to like the same people. I personally prefer people that provoke thought. And, you know, there's not a lot of famous guys that really do that.
Okay, you've traveled quite a lot, I've realized. Like, you've been to pretty much anywhere. I've noticed Japan, Korea, Afghanistan, Germany, Malta, and many, many more. There's quite an underculture of comedy here in Cambridge. Quite a lot of students are interested in comedy, and there's a lot of comedy societies. So I'm just wondering, how would you say comedy varies from one country to another?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it, right there? I would say that there's universals that appeal to that are comedy universals, which is the human condition, the quest for meaning in this nihilistic sort of empty life that we have, where we're chasing after money, thinking it's going to fulfill that empty void in our hearts. And then there's love, which is universal, and then there's that sort of criticism of culture. The criticism of culture is probably the thing that's most variant, because every culture is sort of reflective upon its own local sort of immersion. So you'll see that's different everywhere else. So you can't do universal cultural criticisms, except with American culture, which seems to be like a cancer everywhere. The difference, a lot of places, I mean, Canada and the UK particularly, we like sarcasm. We like dry comedy where you fill in the blanks. America does not like that. They consider sarcasm an insult. So
yeah, British is quite highbrow in a way, isn't it? They try to be very sophisticated in a way. I don't know if you found that.
Well, there's an attempt to be sophisticated. So that has to do with a certain classism that you guys have here, and this sort of division amongst your sort of a liberal elite comics in this country that have had a sort of an easy going. And when it comes to the press, I would say there's two different voices in that. And not all British comedy pushes that boundary. There's a lot of silly shit out there, and that's some of the most wonderful things that you have. Whimsy is something that can't be looked past as an amazing British quality, and that's not really cerebral.
So onto your present tour, you're taking several jokes to, I think, 17 different cities in the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
Am I? Yeah, yes. I have nothing to do with that side of things. That's all business. If it's 17 shows, sure. I just show up where my program takes me, where my thing goes.
So tonight you're going to be live here at Cambridge Junction at 8 p.m. What can people expect from your show?
It's all me, so I'm going to start off with 30 minutes. I'm going to open up, do 30 minutes of sort of like best of stuff, and getting to know the audience from. You know, I've done like 5 Edinburgh shows, so I'll pick and choose, sort of decide on the night what I'm going to do for the opening 30, take a little break, and then I'm going to come back and do my Edinburgh show from this year, Several Jokes, which is sort of an analysis and an exploration of my personal fears and the ideas of being vulnerable and the benefits and the detriments of being vulnerable, and then talk a little about political correctness and the death of reason in our modern society and why we can't have interesting comedy. Because people overreact, and the uselessness of overreacting when people should just sort of just not like things versus get outraged, which is what the Daily Mail wants us all to do when we hear crazy stuff.
Sounds quite philosophical. I think it's going to be quite interesting.
I don't want it to sound so philosophical so much, because it is funny. There's no question it's funny. It's funny first, method second. But I like to mix both, because I see it's pointless to just make people laugh without making them think. What, right? No? Yeah. I don't know. That's just my flavor. Yeah.
Okay, so apart from several jokes, do you have any plans for the future?
No, not really. I don't think so. I don't really have. No, I have no plans whatsoever.
So no other shows coming up, nothing like that.
I got tons of shows. It's just like you're asking about my life plans.
I don't know if you've got life plans like that you want to share. I'm happy to hear them.
No, I kind of live for the day when it comes to my life. I'm going back to Canada to do some touring in January, then going to Australia in March. So, yeah, those are my main plans in the short term, you know, Southeast Asia, doing the Fringe Festival in Indonesia, things like that, you know.
So you go back to being very tired and traveling a lot, basically.
Yeah, I'm tired even when I'm like here, though, you know. I'm always tired. That's just the fact. So you're young. You don't know. Once you get about 35, you're tired all the time, but you don't sleep the same way you used to. It's very strange. The way your hormones change as you get older. It's nice, though, because you care less. Oh, that's the beauty. When you stop caring, you should be able to sell that in a bottle.
Okay, I'm looking forward to being 35 then. Okay.
Indifference is, it's a drug you can't get enough of.
I look forward to that. Anyway, one last question. So as I was saying before, Cambridge University has many comedy societies, many people who want to be comedians. So
the Footlights. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Footlights. There's plenty more, some more famous, some less more obscure. But what advice would you give to someone aspiring to become a comedian?
You want me to give advice to somebody going to Cambridge that wants to do comedy?
Yes.
I think they've done everything right at this point in their life, and my input's really not going to help them. They're going to Cambridge. First of all, if you look at the percentage of successful comics in the UK that have gone to Cambridge or Oxford, it's like 40% at the BBC. So you got everything on your side already, so I'm not going to give you any. If anything, I'd like to sabotage you. I'd like to take you down a peg and let some kid from Manchester from the slums get a chance at that.
Do you want to give them some fake advice then?
Just talk about pointless stuff, man. I don't know. I really, to be honest with you, to make it in the modern world of comedy, if you want to be famous, just be good looking and young. If you want to make a difference, follow your heart, your passion, your mind, and don't ever listen to another group of people telling you have to change when you know what you're doing is funny. You'll either attract your audience or you'll go broke, and then natural selection will weed you out. And that's the way comedy should be. You should be always be following your heart and your truth and your own arrow. And the public will either say yes or no, and they'll vote with money to a certain degree. Unless you get caught up in the fame structure, then your will be pushed on everybody and becomes familiar, and they'll come show to see you anyways. That's what happens when you're gorgeous, by the way. So if you're really good looking, get into comedy.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Pete. And good luck with your tour.
Oh, thanks, man. All right.